strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Earthers. Putting God first in your life.
Stay tuned, Pastor Armstead.
Remember, on last week I told you, in order to live a consecrated life, it calls for total surrender to the Lord, because it's possible to be saved and not surrendered. But if you're not surrendered, you will never fulfill your purpose nor live out your destiny. And so the key to being surrendered to the Lord is to put God first in your life. And so with your prayer this morning, that's my subject. I want to talk from that subject, putting God first in your life. And so let me begin by saying, Brother Jones, I'm an American because I was born in America. I was born in Pineville, Louisiana, in the Charity Hospital. And immediately that qualified me to be an American citizen, because my birth determined my citizenship. But as an African American, my roots are not from here. Matter of fact, my roots run deep two continents away in Africa. Yet even though I was born here, my experience of the American dream is not guaranteed, because my birth only gives me an opportunity to pursue the American dream. But now, if I don't pursue the American dream, it doesn't take away my citizenship. In other words, although it may take away my ability to fully enjoy and maximize the benefits of my citizenship, in the same way, if you are a part of the family of God, having trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you are a citizen of God's kingdom because you have been born again. In other words, you have been birthed into God's family, thus affording you access to all the rights, privileges, and protections that comes from His throne. But now, even though you have been born into the kingdom, you may not be enjoying or maximizing the benefits of the kingdom, because if you don't pursue all that you can do in the kingdom, you won't lose your citizenship, or you won't lose your salvation, but you most certainly will reduce your experience of the benefits of the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, God's kingdom agenda can be defined as the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of our lives. But now, frequently in scriptures, we read that Jesus came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. In fact, Jesus' longest sermon in the Bible is specifically about the kingdom. And my brothers and sisters, the centerpiece of that piece of that sermon is located right in the middle of it. For that, Jesus definitively explains what we found in our text in verses Matthew 6 and 33 that says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Now, the context of our text in verses 25 through 32, and the key is for Christians not to worry. Why? Because God knows that we our needs. He knows we need food. He knows we need water, clothes, and shelter, and the like. And note the writer says that birds don't plant or reap, nor do they store food in barns, and yet God feeds them. And so the question is, are we not more valuable than birds? Well, to find out, let's look back at the beginning of creation in Genesis 1, and we will note that God spoke into existence the birds of the air, the plants, and all the vegetation and other creatures. But now, when He got ready to make man, He had a conference with Himself, according to Genesis 1 and 26, and He said, "Let us God the Father, the Spirit, and the Word, make man in our image and our likeness. My brothers and sisters, no other creature was made in the image and likeness of God, amen, other than man, which reveals to us this morning that we are the crown of God's creation, and we were created for his glory. But if we are going to fulfill our purpose and live out our destiny, we must first of all put number one, first things first. Notice they seek first the kingdom. And so let us just focus for a little while, focus our attention on the word first. Because if that word get lost in your life, your experience of God and his plans for you will be greatly diminished. Why? Because God and his kingdom demand to be first. But now he doesn't demand to be one among many, one of your top priorities. He says we are to seek him first. But now the problem in most of our Christian lives and the reason why so many of us are not fully experiencing and living out our destinies is that God and his kingdom is not first in our lives. Sure, he's there. He's in the vicinity. He's one of the things on our list, but he's not first. My brothers and sisters, when God created man, he made it clear that he wanted to be first. Because the Bible says that back in the beginning, God rejected Cain's offering, but Abel brought an offering to God of the firstlings of what he had, and God accepted his offering. And then the writer of the Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of your produce. Then we read that the Israelites were commanded to give the Levites, who were chosen to serve God in his temple, an offering from the first fruit of your grain, amen, your new wine and your oil, and the first shearing of the sheep, according to Deuteronomy 18:4. And so, my brothers and sisters, over and over again, God tells his people that they are to bring him what is first. And we know also that when Jesus spoke to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2:4, he told them that they had left their first love. But now he wasn't saying that they didn't love him, but that they didn't love him first. For example, we don't like for someone to cut in front of us in line, especially when we've been standing in the line for a long time, do we? And in the same way, when God tells us to put him first, he's saying in the essence that he's tired of other stuff cutting ahead of him in line. In other words, we thank God for everything he's given us, and then we allow the very thing that we thank him for to cut the line ahead of him in our thoughts, our time, and priorities. Yet Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, yes, Lord, and his righteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not a request or a suggestion. It's not something God hopes you and I will consider. But this is the non-negotiable reality that you and I must live out in order to fully realize and experience the greatest manifestation of our destiny, because God is not one among many. He is to be first. And so we must put first things first. And then secondly, we must let God be God. I believe you'll agree when I say, but Crowell, most homes include living rooms. And yet, in my opinion, the living room has been misnamed, because the living room is typically just a visiting room when company comes. Because more often than not, we live in the kitchen or the den or the bedroom of our home. I can remember I used to go to some folks' house and they had plastic on the sofa and the chairs in the so-called living room, which is rarely lived in. And so just as we have misnamed the living room, many of us have misnamed God. In other words, we call him God, but we are only visiting. We just pop in on Sunday, maybe a few times during the week, and we set through a visit with God rather than living out a first place relationship with Him. And yet, God says to seek Him first, meaning if that reality and priority is missing in your life, you have just identified the reason why you have not yet realized your purpose. Because if you acknowledge God as God, and yet, Lord have mercy, you don't treat Him as God, you cannot enjoy the benefits of the kingdom. God says to seek Him first, not second, not third, not fourth, or not tenth, but seek Him first. My brothers and sisters, yes, if you're seeking the true pathway to your destiny, it is in the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Now, the word kingdom presumes that the presence of a king, and if there is a king, he's also ruler. Therefore, seeking first the kingdom means seeking God's rule and authority in our lives. It means that when you have to make a decision, you go to Him first. When you have to resolve a problem and looking for a solution, you go to Him first. But so many Christians, God is like a spare tire, because they go to Him when they've tried everything else and it hadn't worked. But the key to every success, every fulfillment, and every opportunity to overcome the challenges in life is the kingdom principle of seeking God first. And so to seek the kingdom of God above all else means to put God first into your life, to fill your thoughts with His desires, to take His character for your pattern, and serve and obey Him in everything. Well, let me ask you this morning, what's really important to you? Is it people, object, goals, talents, or other desires? Or what's important to you? Because all these things compete for priority, meaning any of these things can quickly become most important to you if you not actively choose to put God first or give Him first place in your life. We do this by letting God being God. I'm almost through now. You can get your shout on. Well, finally, because it's all about, yes, Lord, Him. My brothers and sisters, if we put God, put first things first and let God be God, we must come to realize that it's all about Him and not you. Yes, but still,
in the air, and the Spirit of the Lord is afresh in His glorious zeal to seek those in need of salvation, to add them to the Lamb's Book of Life. Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, with host pastor Dr. Carl Armstead, presents Spring Revival 2013. This year's theme, Redeeming the Lost Years, taken from Joel 2, 25 through 26. Monday, May 20th through Wednesday, May 22nd at 7 p.m. Guest speaker and evangelist for this awesome soul-winning revival is the Reverend J. Barrington Meeks, Senior Pastor of Gaines Street Baptist Church of Little Rock, Arkansas.
I am amazed at the number of Christians who complain about, who talk about them, who don't understand them.
Reverend,
why he said this about me? Why is the devil on my track? Why something always happened to me? Have you forgotten that you are on a battlefield? Why are you so surprised when the enemy shoots at you? Forgotten that we're on the battlefield. And as a result of us forgetting that we are on a battlefield, there are very few of the Lord's people who are really armed and equipped and ready to wage spiritual warfare.
Come here and see this awesome man of God preach, teach, and reveal God's word on why the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to come. Time is winding up and is at hand because of many troubling events happening in the earth, and why we need to double our efforts to reach out to others and our family. We're looking forward to seeing you there Monday, May 20th through Wednesday, May 22nd at Mount Olive Baptist Church, 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana. Phone 337-239-3933 for additional information.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Stand on your feet and out of the word of the Lord. Turn them to the third chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for the opportunity to study your word. We pray that the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will meet us in the text, tailor the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear and see and understand what you have designed that we would. Now, God, again, we thank you in advance for all that you shall reveal to us. These principles that we might practice for profit and give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar, however you prefer to pronounce his name, in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about next level trust, part two. Next level trust, part two. We dealt with next level trust in the earlier service, our 7 a.m. service. And I just want to give you the principles of next level trust, and you write them down and you'll see them at play in this and other texts that reveal the process of trusting God on various levels. First thing you need to know that is trust, like faith, is now. Now. So you write down now. Next to now, put a hyphen reality. Because your trust must be in God, a reality, and if you are saved, it took trust and faith to believe in a God you could not see, to believe that what God has spoken, he absolutely means, that he is not a man that he should lie. The reality of your trust in God is already activated. So that's, if you will, a foundational level of trust. That's where you enter in with relationship with him. And just as a babe learns to trust his or her parents, so have we learned to trust God from a early and a base stage of trust. So that has to do with your relationship. But then when you desire to move to another place, to gain more, to gather, and to go to another place in him, you need a new level of trust, or you must be renewed to a further degree of trust in him. In other words, it's not going to be a different trust. It's going to be a new revelation of trust. It's going to be a new dimension of trust. It's the same trust, but it's at another place of trust. So then you renew yourself in that new place so that the same reality of trusting him on the first or beginning level is the same process for trusting him on the next level. And what you begin to operate when you understand the principles is this, that what worked on the base level works on the best level. It is the same process implemented over and over again. And so then thirdly, what you must recognize is the now and the new is what presents you and prepares you and is a prelude to the next level. And let me throw a word out about next, because next is an ongoing level. Whenever you reach next level, there's always a next level. You never reach a level where you can say, I'm comfortable, I quit, this is as high as God wants me to. As long as you're breathing, as long as you're alive, you're going to recognize that God has a next level experience for you that requires trust. But when you reach the next level, there is always a new reward. New reward is always on next level. Say, new reward is always on the next level. Now, when you know this, you will be rewarded for ascending to the next level. God is going to honor your faith and your trust in him and always reward you with what he's either promised you or prepared for you on the next level. Now, keep in mind, this works in every area of faith, every area of trust, every area of your life. Understanding that, I thought it would be helpful to pull out in the biblical context of these principles in a situation that we have heard, read, for our understanding. Now, if you note the story, it starts off with King Nebuchadnezzar, who made an image of gold whose height was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Now, he made this god in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And he sent and gathered all of the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which the king himself had set up. Now, this was something that the king prided himself in and desired. And so this was an issue of the king that he wanted everyone to share and celebrate with him. Verse 3 says, the princes, the governors, and the captains, and all them important people. people came to that set up celebration. Verse 4, then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, listen, nations and languages, which meant this statue that he had set up was to be worshiped without prejudice. He was saying, don't care what your background is, what your color is, what country you come from, or what language you speak, you are commanded to worship my golden image. Now the word says, verse 5, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth it shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of these instruments that the king had set up, verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now everyone had heard these sounds. The Jews that had been a part of the king's court and of course of the king's kingdom were also of another nationality and served another god. They were not a part of the king's groupings. They were not a part of the king's special men at this point in time where they served his gods and desired to worship this image that he had set up. They had a conviction about the god they served that, though removed from their homeland, still traveled with them. There are three things I want to share about these men that must be a part of us, especially if we desire to ascend to next level experience. First of all, we have to have a character that pleases God. This is what they had, a character that pleased God. You've got to have a character that pleases God, because in order to trust God, your character must be developed by the content of God's word. In other words, you must recognize that without proper content, you can't produce proper character. And without proper character, you can't produce proper consequences. And you can't have proper consequences unless you've got the proper content. And that's the word of the Lord. And so here these men knew God in an intimate way. And though they were far from their homeland and in another place, they had a character that pleased God. But anyway, not only did they have a character that pleased God, but they had a conviction that would not give in to men. A conviction that would not give in to men. Not only did they not have a conviction that would not give in to men, but they had a commitment that they would carry to death. A commitment they would carry to death. You know, that must be a point and place in your time where you get to the point where you've got the character of God in your life and it is so identical and mirrored to the word of God that reflects God that you have a conviction so deep that even if you are away from the place, you are not away from the principles. In other words, you don't subscribe to the win in Rome, do as Romans do mentality. You a Christian, whether if you are here in church or whether you're in a place where there are no Christians abiding, your character is the same in the midday as it is in the midnight. You have the character there that builds up again and helps you bring a conviction that is so rooted underneath the skin that you will, listen, it's one thing to slip, it's a whole nother thing to. And when you slip, you break the slip and you catch yourself. How many of you been walking somewhere and hit something and slipped and you caught yourself? Now, you know it wasn't nothing you slipped on. Sometimes it's a bad step. You didn't make a good, solid step, but you're embarrassed because you slipped. You checking your heel and all of that. So how many of you agree that sometimes you just make a bad step? Now, here is the danger in not owning up to making the bad step. And that's always our desire to want to blame something or somebody else for our slip. So here, these men had a conviction where they were so rooted in God and God in them that being far away from their homeland and place, they still had the presence of God locked in their soul, in their spirit, in their inner man. But then there was something else that drove them, their commitment to God. And you're going to see this outplay in the text. Their commitment was so powerful that they literally told the most powerful man in that kingdom, you know what? we understand that you're the king, but we serve someone who's a little bigger than you are. And we're committed to him. Now, we respect your laws, except when your laws disrespect my God. And so we are committed to our God more than we are committed to this earthly king. And they kept everything in balance. Listen to this, because it's important to know this. They kept everything in balance until the king took things out of balance.